love is hell. Valentine's Day is almost upon us. And while we're happily in love, it wasn't always the case. We had to go on some really bad dates and kiss a lot of frogs before finally catching a prince.
Today, comedian and former Korean talk show celebrity Vicky Eisenstein joins us to talk about the weird dates she had while living in Korea. Vicky now performs in the acclaimed improvised Jane Austen, and she loves to bathe in pumpkin spice lattes and french fries on YouTube.
Join us for this and all the hot news. Beyonce goes full Mother Mary pregnant gorgeousness at the Grammys.
A newspaper in the Dominican Republic mistakes Alec Baldwin's Trump for President Bannon's Cheeto snowflake.
And the world's first transgender doll. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Did you know that rainbows come from unicorns? Well, they do. They really, really do. And I've got just the t-shirt to prove it. Get yours today at feastoffun.com/store.
It's not unusual to be in love by anyone. Mark, what is it that RuPaul likes to say? If you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else?
Yeah, basically meaning you have to take care of yourself
first,
and then you can take care of other people.
But there's also a sinister side to that that message, which is if you're somehow incomplete, you're not deserving or worthy of love.
That's true.
Well, I'm sure that RuPaul doesn't mean to say that. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes like a backhanded compliment.
Well, it's just teaching you, listen, take care of yourself, love yourself. And by learning how to love yourself, because what's involved in loving yourself? It's forgiving yourself, taking care of yourself, being kind to yourself. And then you can do that to other people.
And sometimes, you know, if you don't treat yourself, you cheat yourself. I love this gluten-free Prosecco we're sipping on here. That our good friend, the lovable Vicky Eisenstein, whose YouTube channel is all about comedy, food, and fun. Several of her videos, she bathes in pumpkin spice lattes because she's just got to live it up. And she stars in a critically acclaimed comedy troupe, Improvised Jane Austen. Welcome to Feast of Fun.
Thank you for having me.
It's so nice to we're kind of having like a little date with you tonight, right? Because it's Valentine's Day, just days away.
Yeah, and I mean, we've got the Prosecco, we've got chocolates. I brought the chocolates.
Oh, you did? Yes, where is did. That?
It's, let's eat some.
Oh my God, they're so... I'm going to get so fat.
Well, we saw you in Improvised Jane Austen, and then we ran into you a couple of different times at some Google events, and then you and Fausto spent a week in New York City together.
We did! Oh my God, it was so much fun for a YouTube event, though. It wasn't like a romantic getaway, don't worry.
Well, it was an experiment on whether YouTube or Google could create a reality TV show based on YouTube media personalities, and they happened to sort of swing it by making it a workshop. But they tortured us for like an entire week, like a reality TV show. And every day was like, surprise, you're going to do this.
And I thought it was great. I loved it. There were just so many cool production classes and like all sorts of fun stuff.
Did you use any of the information for the production class you took on green screens, for example?
Well, I already knew how to do that.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, you're getting all these people who like are making videos for, you know, forever. And you're teaching them, like, this is a camera. This is how you turn on a camera.
Dude, I didn't know how to shoot in manual mode. I always use auto. And, like, everyone was totally ribbing me for that. They were totally, like, taking
Well, you
out
should be
me.
Turning off the automatic.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thing. Yeah.
Thanks.
But now you know.
It's true. I do.
The
I
more,
feel so awkward because you know. I'm sitting and you both are standing. And I can't do this. I can't do it. I got to get on
You got to get
level.
Up. Get up get here, up girl.
I'm up.
Get up on the same level.
Get up. Okay. Get up.
Do you want to take your high heel shoes off?
I do.
Let's take them off. Get comfortable, honey.
We'll
today's
pause
show
for a second.
Is all about love, children, and revenge. Because we're not just going to talk about love. We're also going to get even with the worst dates we've ever had. And Vicky, who's lovable and deserving of love.
I am.
Who can't decide whether she wants to sit or stand. to her adjusting her microphone.
I'm a very indecisive person.
I think she's going to stand now.
I am standing now.
It's more
now.
Fun.
Yeah,
it's like we're dancing. Fun. It's like a cocktail party.
Get up. Get on your feet. Get up and make it happen.
Yes, honey.
But when I'm on my feet, I feel like we need, you know, people need to see this. Like,
you can live stream any. Nobody's stopping you from live streaming.
Should I live
shit.
Stream this?
Pull it out.
Oh my
I mean,
God.
Not your penis.
That's funny.
So I want to talk about, but before you start live streaming stuff, I want to hear about the fact or your past as a South Korean media personality. You moved to South Korea for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So let's see. I believe this all starts at the end of high school. I was taking Kumdo, which is like Korean sword fighting. And I got super into like Korean dramas and Korean music and Korean men. And so when I went to college, that was still happening. And so I ended up studying abroad in Korea and Seoul. And that's when I was just like head over heels for Korea. I have to go back. So when I went back, I ended up on a television show after graduating from college and going there. And
what's the name of the show for the Korean listeners?
It's called Minyodole Suda. And so basically that translates to Chit Chat of the Beauties. And they would have 16 foreign girls.
It's like this show, Chit Chat of the Beauties.
Exactly. Just like this.
So it's like a Korean The View, only with women.
Many women, too.
Many.
Right?
You say many. 16.
Are beautiful. The concept is many beautiful women, right?
It's 16, good-looking foreign girls, and then they would have a panel of 5 Korean celebrities, so, like, actors, like, Miss Korea, models, whoever. And then they would also have this comedian host, MC Nam, and so they would just ask all the foreign girls questions, like, oh, you know, what's Korea like for you and your country? Like, what do you usually give your boyfriend for an anniversary gift? Like, what kind of makeup trends are popular, stuff like that, you know. It was just dumb stuff.
But like, and did you have to speak Korean to be on the program?
Yeah, I was speaking Korean for it.
Okay.
And so like Eugene Levy, who can, you know, speak slang, you were the only white person in that whole production?
No, all the 16 girls were from all around the world.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was all 16 girls from around the world. That's why it was like,
so you were Miss America.
I was,
there was
one
Miss
of the
Brazil.
Americas, yeah, and there was
Miss Tokyo. Because wasn't Japanese people and Korean people hate each other or something, right?
There's a lot of still resentment and animosity from World War II, definitely.
Yeah. Was there a Japanese person on the show?
There was, yeah.
And did they treat her really poorly?
She's super popular.
Oh, they were? Yeah. They were nice to her?
Oh, yeah.
They were not like, you have no honor.
No, they were nice to all the girls. Like, okay. They loved us. Yeah.
What is like what is a Korean insult? Like, what is the worst thing you can say to a Korean person?
I mean, like, they say, like, shibal a lot, which is, like, fuck. So, like, shibal kesegi, like, fucking son of a bitch, whatever.
Like, Mark's for trick-or-treating, like, we got a lot of Asian kids, mm-hmm. mostly from college, foreign exchange students, come to the gay neighborhood, uh-huh. Boys Town, here in Chicago for Halloween.
Yeah. For the parade.
And okay. One year, Mark started giving out the tricks for the treats.
I would ask them if they had any money or candy or a kiss or something like that. And they're like, no, I don't have anything. So I would give them a little fortune, like a little mm-hmm. fortune thing. And I had it printed in Chinese, Japanese, Korean.
Uh-huh.
And it said, you bring shame to your ancestors. And they're like, why would you give this to me? I'm like, this is what Halloween's about. If you don't give somebody a treat, they give you a trick.
That's hilarious.
You know? So, yeah, that's the true meaning of Halloween.
How well was that received?
It got, you know, I got some kisses. I got some money from people because they were like, give me some candy or some money and I'll take it back. And they did. Yeah. And then we got to hang out with, I think, San Juan.
His name was San Juan.
San Juan. Yeah.
And I was like, I am from San Juan, Puerto Rico. He had no idea what Puerto Rico or San Juan is, right? And we went to a bar and he was totally like,
he was straight identifying, but I think he was gay curious or something. I don't know.
A lot of Asians are in denial about like gays even being a thing. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
So we took San Juan to Big Chicks and mm-hmm. he loudly announced, like, mm-hmm. you know, he was talking really softly and stuff. And he said, I do not want any drugs in my beer.
Yeah.
And we're like, all right, Stuart, One beer for San Juan, no drugs.
And he's like, okay, here's your beer with no drugs.
But he wouldn't drink it.
He wouldn't drink it, though, because it was from the tap. So he's like, he wanted one in a bottle. So I'm like, okay, I'll drink that one.
And well, you know, maybe he thought America is all about getting roofied and stuff.
I think he did. Yeah. They got it was the handbook, Don't Get Drugged by Americans.
Which is funny, because the only place in the world I've been roofied is in Korea. So
maybe that's why he was smart to, you know, maybe it's not the first time, and he's just bringing out his own experiences and struggles and challenges.
Knows,
And we were rude not to be aware of that.
So how'd you get on this show? Like, what was the deal?
I applied online. Like everyone does to everything, right? Yeah. I put in a thing. At the time, I was, like, not cognizant of, like, image or anything. So I submitted a photo that was just me in sunglasses and a fedora. Because remember in, like, 2008 when fedoras were having a resurgence as an interesting fashion piece? Mm-hmm. So I wasn't, like, a Redditor. I just had a fedora thing going on. I would always go out to the club in a fedora and then use that as my flirting tool. But anyway, so I submitted this picture of me in sunglasses and fedora. And then they were like, why would you send that? Like, that's not a picture of your face. And I was like, because it's cool. But really why they wanted me is because I had mentioned in there that I was up in Ilsan at the time. And so was another girl who was on the show. And I basically talked a lot of trash about her. And that's why they let me on the show, because I could talk trash about this girl.
What'd you say about her?
Well, no, because I said we went to this booking club together. And you guys don't know what a booking club is, right? So
no.
You make books?
No. Korea is an introduction-based culture. So it's the idea that it's not proper for me to talk to someone unless I've been introduced to them, because they have like such this like, what do you say, Gwange, like relationship based stuff. So they have these clubs, these nightclubs, which are called booking clubs. And what happens is girls will go in groups and guys will go in groups, and like usually girls pay less, whatever. And you go in and you sit down at the table, and then the waiters come by and they'll just pull up however many girls they need, and they bring you to a table of men who have requested you or who have just requested girls to come over, however many they need. And you sit down next to them.
And you get paid for this?
You don't get paid. You're chatting with them. No, I've been in a weird situation with other story. The booking club was how I knew this girl, and that's how I got onto, because it's still a little scandalous that she was at a booking club, one of the biggest ones up in Ilsan.
Was the gossip.
That was the gossip.
And so because a waiter introduced you, it was okay to talk to them.
It's kind of like the idea behind it. Yeah, it's like, because it's awkward to go up to anybody that you don't know and talk to them as for Koreans.
So in some ways, it's kind of like speed dating.
Yeah, a little bit.
And how do you end the relationship? Do you just kind of stand be like, oh, we're done now?
Usually you sit down, you have a drink, and then if you're not interested after the drink, you're kind of like, okay, well, it was very nice meeting you, and you leave.
Oh, did you meet some nice guys that way?
I wouldn't call them nice. No, wait, I did meet one guy who was like so upset that I was leaving. This was like right before I left Korea the first time, and he was so upset that I was leaving because he thought that we were like boyfriend and girlfriend already after like one date. And I was like, I'm so sorry to break your heart, but I'm going. And he started crying, and I was like, I'm so sorry.
Girls love it when guys cry, don't they?
Oh my God, yes.
The weird thing is like, you think, you know, the gay guys, they're considered effeminate and stuff like that. Gay guys hardly ever cry in their relationships, but
really?
With straight men, always cry for women, and women just love it.
Not after one date. No.
After a while, though. Maybe once you're in a relationship.
Maybe. I haven't gotten to the point.
Where is he now?
Is that the worst date you've ever had, though?
No.
What's the, could you just put up a video on your YouTube channel, Vicky Eisenstein, right?
Yeah, that's my name and
What's the URL so the listeners can find it? Because I'm in it, so that's why it's an awesome channel.
You can just go youtube.com/Vicky Eisenstein or search my name and I just pop up, you know?
And we'll put up a link to your YouTube channel. And today, or pretty soon, like for Valentine's Day, right? You're making a video about the worst dates.
No, it's not the worst. I'm taking people on a Valentine's Day date. Yeah.
And so the date starts with like you waiting for them to show up, and they finally show up late. And then you go out to a dinner that they were supposed to pay for, and they expect you to split the bill, and then they talk all about their problems at work,
and they get drunk.
At the end, They get drunk and then they say they're going to go to the bathroom and they don't return.
So for all the listeners out there, that's not my video at all. I don't know what he's talking about. It's a really fun date. And if you like fun dates and you want to go on a fun date, maybe you don't have a date for Valentine's Day. You can come on a date with me. We go to Taco Bell.
Aw. Mm-hmm.
Taco Cabana, yes. Taco Cabell, taco smell. You know what I'm saying? So
no.
that's your ideal date is a Taco Bell date?
No, but that's what I can afford to do for you too.
Well, you can. Oh, I see. Because it costs you money.
It does. Yeah.
Why don't you get like a Patreon just to do one video where you go out to like a full. Oh, well, you're vegan, right?
So yeah.
Like a tofu thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, is Lady Gaga on?
No. When you get into the idea of let me give you an idea for something to do is weird.
Anyways, the reason I'm bringing all this stuff up is because Valentine's Day is just days around the corner.
It is.
And, you know, there's a lot of blogs, a lot of websites, all this advice on how to love, how to not to love. And sometimes you just want to hate at the world. You just want to get revenge. Maybe not the revenge that you recently, but you know, Trump's in the White House. We want some payback to something.
It's a lot of anger.
People are pissed off, you know, and it's like maybe Valen Hates Day.
No, celebrate the person you love.
It's about the
love. Buy them nice gifts.
But some of us don't have someone we love, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's...
If you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else?
Just pretend it's a normal...
Shut up.
Celebrate Mama people's love. Find a couple that you like and you admire their relationship and send them both Valentine's Day cards.
Is this how you're asking me to send you guys Valentine's Day cards? I get it. I know why I was invited over now.
You already brought us chocolates. What else could I get out of her?
The vivacious fan has spoken. Mother has arrived. If you can't love yourself, darling, how the hell are you gonna love somebody else?
With my hand.
Can I get a amen? Amen.
Amen.
Come on, Vicky. Amen.
Amen.
Or maybe not.
I'm not very comfortable with religious amens and all that.
Oh yeah, you're Jewish. So what do they say? L'chaim.
I don't know. I wasn't like my mother was Catholic. My father's a Jew. I call myself a cashew. Dun, dun.
I like that.
Isn't it good? So I wasn't raised religious. Cashews
Listen,
are great.
We have a character called Jew Paul instead of RuPaul. And what does Jew Paul say?
You better work because I'm not paying you to sit on your tuchus. Can I get a shalom up in here?
Yeah,
I had a whole list of them. I can pull them up from my list.
I actually
did these for when Michelle Visage came on the podcast, and we gave her a quiz on RuPaul.
She failed every question.
She did. She doesn't know RuPaul, and she wasn't invited to RuPaul's 50th birthday party. I know that.
Oh.
Wow. True or false? RuPaul at her 50th birthday party had an impersonator named Jew Paul, who was who told the following jokes.
She was kind of like on the fence about it.
She's like, did she? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But so in South Korea, was it good like being romantic with some of the guys? Because you're a blonde bombshell like James Mansfield or Mae West or. Marilyn Monroe, not Manson.
Just like the Monroe, not the Manson. No, it's just so weird dating in a foreign culture. It's just very, you have to watch out because a lot of times you're like the token girlfriend kind of thing. You know?
They're objectifying you.
A lot of times, yeah. A lot of times it was just like they wanted free English lessons or like they just wanted to show you around as being like, look, I got a white girlfriend. The amount of guys that I would date, we'd have sex like once or twice and then for some reason couldn't get them to have sex with me, but they'd always take me out to show their friends. I was like, what?
Were they hot though? I mean,
yeah, I dated hot ones.
Yeah,
like
you were getting the tens.
I have my Korea, so yeah.
We go to that Korean spot out in the suburbs, out in Niles, every now and then. It's like
King Spa,
there's some really hot Korean guys that go out there. It's so not so hot Korean guys. Mm-hmm.
But when you see the hot one, you're like, oh, I like that. There's no clothing allowed.
And I assume like some of them are like the baseball players in town, because the baseball is super popular there, and a lot of them play for American teams.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And they're so sore from playing with those bats and balls and sliding into the base. So I said, I can give you a back massage. They charge you over there, but I'll give it to you for free.
You get a lot of massages.
He says, I don't want any drugs in my beer. In my beer. Mark, what's the worst date you've ever had? Like a date that just stays with you through the years and you go, wow, that person, I can't believe I shared an evening with this demented monster. Wow. And I hope that person somewhere has found peace in their life.
I don't feel like that towards anyone I've dated, but I did have like just a really awkward first date once where we go out and it was like one of those dates where you're like walking around and you should do something, but instead you're walking around the city for 6 hours and your feet hurt and you're like, why do I wear heels? And this guy was like recently back from the army, and then he starts telling me about how his best buddy had died in the army. Aww. And then his dog had also recently died, and then his laundry machine had a problem, and his mother was mentally unstable. And like, it was just
overdraft
like
account.
That's a bad date.
Yeah. And it was like 6 hours of listening to this guy's life, and I was just like, I'm sorry, I can't go on a second date with you.
My God. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, don't dump all that stuff on somebody on a first date. You're supposed to keep first dates like nice and pleasurable and fun and keep it light.
Well, I have one guy who was nice and pleasurable and fun on the first date, was amazing. And the second date, he's like, oh, actually, I shouldn't drink. And I'm like, oh, really? Why? And he's like, oh, well, I didn't really want to tell you this, but I feel like we have such a good connection. I really should tell you. And he's like, I'm so glad you didn't Google me, because there's a Business Insider article about me. And how, you know, it claims that, well, it's kind of true. I did lose a lot of money for a lot of people.
You dated Bernie Madoff.
Well, he was a hedge fund guy.
Oh,
and
man.
He made some wrong calls. This guy was only 26. He made some wrong calls and he lost millions of dollars for people. And then he like just didn't tell anyone that he'd lost their money. So then it was like a big problem where it was like people were like, what's going on? So the SEC got involved. And then he's like, oh, and by the way, the reason I couldn't go out last week, I just want to be totally honest with you. And I was like, yeah. He's like, I feel like I can be honest with you. And I hate it when people say that, because then you're kind of defensive of like, yeah, you can be honest with me, of course.
Yeah, of
and
course. So he tells trust me completely.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah. And he goes, well, I was actually in California last week, and that's why I couldn't go on a date with you. And it wasn't for fun. It was because I had a court hearing for an insurance fraud thing. And I was like, what?
What? Was that the last date with him?
Yeah, that was the last date with him.
Oh, so
if you get sued like in the state of California, do you have to fly down there to do all this stuff?
Lord,
yeah,
knows.
Yeah, if you get sued in certain jurisdictions, you have to go back to it.
So, Mark, before you got married to the most awesome man in the world, you went on some dates.
I've gone on some dates, and some have been kind of boring. I guess the worst one, though, to me is I went over to this guy's house for dinner, and it was Valentine's Day. So he was going to make me some Thai food. He was a Thai guy. And he made me some food, and then we sat down to eat it, and he's like, and then he just turned on porn on the TV.
What?
And it was because he
what kind of porn?
He was addicted to porn. This is one of the things he told me. I already had slept with him before, and he said that he could only have used porn to get off, so we'd mess around, but he never ever came, so it was weird. And so that we're sitting there, we're eating dinner, Valentine's dinner, and we're watching porn, and it was a gangbang porn. It was a chick, and she was getting these guys all had numbers on them, like they were running a marathon, and they would like rip off their number when they were next and come over and like have sex with her, and the other guys would just kind of like stand around and jerk off. And I guess in some senses it was kind of a hot porn, because if I'm going to watch straight porn, gangbang porn is one of the better ones to watch.
There's a lot of guys.
Because there's a lot of dicks in it, you know?
Vicky and I are like, don't get any ideas.
And so that was kind of awkward.
This is not that kind of podcast.
And then, you know, I would see him from time. I didn't see him really. We didn't go out again, I don't think, after that. Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't even go out. I just went over to his house. But I did run into him once. He worked at a restaurant nearby where I worked. He worked at a Thai restaurant. And he was in the grocery store. Corner store buying some stuff, and I was like, oh, you know, he was some fruits and things like that. Oh, are you buying things to the restaurant? He goes, yeah, it was like oranges and apples and stuff like that. He goes, yeah, it's for a Buddha statue. And I'm like, oh, that's why your God's so fat, because you feed him so much. And he kind of looked at me like, that's like, gave me a weird look. And I was just like, I'm sorry I said that. Yeah. I didn't mean to insult your religion.
He was mad
like
about
that.
It.
Well, he just kind of was like, I maybe it's a cultural thing that, you know, whatever. I don't know.
I went on a
Buddha's
date.
Buddha's fat. What can you say?
Well, there's like different states of Buddha, right? So, and in some of them, he's a skinny dude, right? Mm-hmm. But I think it's like when he's fulfilled and like happy, he's jolly Buddha.
He's satiated.
There's another word for the really, really big guy who they have in the like Chinese restaurants mostly. It's not, it's the Budai.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something Buddha.
Like that. I feel like that's them.
A state of
pronouncing
Buddha.
Or something,
Know. Like that. Look, do I look like Wikipedia?
No, but you have it in front of you. What was your worst date?
My worst date was way before the internet existed. There was personal ads on the back of the, it was the Chicago Reader. And
oh,
I went to this
guy. So not like a misconnection thing.
No. It was like, I went on the thing and I was like, okay, let's see who this guy. He was an actor.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, maybe he's, you know, he described himself really great. So I was like, this got to be good. You know, I get to his apartment. It was over up on Sheridan Road. Mm-hmm. His apartment was decorated like some old grandma's hotel. There was no objects. Like, you look at our home, you know, there's a lamp. There's crap on the walls. There's crap on the floors. A person lives here. It felt like I was in the lobby of a hotel. No objects, no identifying things. And that got me a little nervous, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he was like, well, so are we going to have sex or whatever? And I was like, no, I think it's time for me to go home. Like, this is not going to work out.
Creepy.
And he's like, so he gets mad. He gets out, gets up, goes to a drawer, pulls out an 8x10 photo, black and white actor's headshot, taken probably 20 years ago. And he's like, that's what I used to look like. This is what you could have had.
What, 20 years ago?
Maybe 20, if I was a time traveler.
Yeah.
I say, well, that's a great photo. Well, thank you so much for showing it to me. I'm going to go home. Well, least I can do is give you a ride home. Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine. So he had this little poodle.
Yeah.
He kept talking in the third person to his poodle. Guess what the dog's name was?
What?
Precious.
Aww.
Silence of the Lambs, Precious. This is after Silence of the Lambs of the movie. And
I immediately thought of Precious, the girl who ate those buckets of fried chicken.
Maybe, yeah. And so he's keep like, he doesn't like us very much, Precious. Oh, well, I guess we'll have to give him a ride home, Precious. And I'm just like, so he gets me in this, he's rich, you know, he put me in this convertible and he puts his poodle in my lap. And we're going down the highway, and he just, throughout the entire drive, well, looks like our friend here is not going to get to know what it's like to get to know us, Precious. And I just wanted to take that dog and throw it out the car. But I was worried he'd throw me after the car. The dog.
I wouldn't tempt anything. That dog is his only thread to sanity. Like, that's all he's got.
Mother says. Yeah. It was a rough time. And, you know, part of it is, I think, like, In this day and age, we sort of like look for whether a person turns us on first, and then we look for compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the past, it was like we look for compatibility first in some regards, and then we sort of get to know if that person turned us on as much as the compatibility was.
Well, in the past, it was all like an economic contract. It wasn't like...
Oh, you're going way back in time there.
Oh, okay.
I want six goats.
No, I really loved... did you read Aziz Ansari's book, Modern Love or Modern Romance?
I read the book Eat, Pray, Gay.
Oh, okay.
Which ends with sucking a bunch of dicks, you know, in Italy and eating gelato.
Well,
it's a great book.
I really loved Aziz Ansari's because although he's a comedian, he teamed up with a bunch of like sociological experts and they went through a bunch of OkCupid data. Like OkCupid actually let them in to like analyze it. And, you know, he talked about like modern relationship dynamics and stuff. And he also talked about and he looked at the data of what happened. And even like up to like the 1950s, it was like women just wanting to get out of the house was the primary reason for like, I'm going to marry. And like even 100 years ago, most marriages, it's crazy. Like a vast majority of marriages happened within a couple of blocks from where the person lived. They found a person somewhat nearby and got married.
Statistically, they say you fall in love with somebody who lives within a quarter mile of your home.
Really?
And Fausto and I, we lived within a quarter mile of each other.
Really?
Yeah, because you have to see each other. You have to run into each other. Back in the day, especially before cars, you know, you'd have to walk to see somebody. And they go. But I guess long-distance relationships, those are the ones that end up in marriage faster. Because people are like, you're far away, I'm far away. If this is going to work, we have to commit.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
I learned that from Millionaire Matchmaker.
Mark, you said there's a new study that reveals that 50% of millennials, that's people, what are millennials again?
Millennials are people that came of age during the turn of the century.
Okay, I thought it was like, not millionaires, but people just have thousands of dollars in their bank accounts would be millennials.
By that definition, no, but like people, still fits.
Like, we're both Generation X, so it's the people behind us. So I think it's, I think they say it's like people that were born in the 80s.
Okay,
like
am I a millennial?
The early 80s, were you born in the 80s? On Grindr, you're a millennial, yes. But in real life, no.
I guess I'm a millennial, too. And so we're hornballs and we sexed other people?
Well, you're not a millennial. You're a Gen X. So
look at my age on Facebook.
Okay.
I think it's very clear.
Millennial's a state
of mind. I'm 34 years old on Facebook.
So
just so you know.
Still can't run for president.
No, too young for presidency. But no, they said, so they, the condom company did a research and they asked people about sexting. And they said 48% of respondents say they sexed somebody at least once a week. And that 42% of guys say that they've sent out a naked picture. And 50% say they've received a naked picture within the past week. So it's very, very into it. But also 30% of respondents said that they have shared somebody else's naked picture. So if you see like a nice dick pic, you're like, oh my God, look at this dick pic. And then you send it to somebody else. So, you know, if you send out a dick pic, somebody else is going to see it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just say that I'm sometimes guilty if I'm on Grindr or Scruff and I find a really hot guy and he wants a picture of my ass. I send a picture of Mark's ass.
No, you don't. Do you really?
I do, because you have a nice ass.
What? That's like a betrayal in a weird way.
Welcome to Dr. Phil.
What?
Yeah, and they're always like, oh, you have such a nice ass. My husband had a good ass, honey. And it's like, if people want to see a photo of a nice ass, I send it there.
Wait, I'm like, do you guys have an open relationship?
No. He cheats on me all the time.
It's like, wait, why are you on Grindr?
I'm doing research.
This is research. I see. You should be
for
concerned.
For the audience.
What I thought interesting about these millennials, too, is that the guys, all 48% of the guys say that they typically have at least two orgasms per sexual encounter, compared to the women who say that 44% of women say they have two orgasms.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So it means shit's getting better.
Yeah, things are doing it. They're sticking around for round two.
Well, you don't stick around with a guy who doesn't get you off. Like, what's the point?
So you are travel back in time for your comedy and learn about human relationships in the Victorian era. An improvised
Jane
Austen.
A little bit
before
Victoria, actually, the Regency area. So we had the Prince Regent was actually the one in charge at that point.
So for people who are not familiar with this concept here, Jane Austen was a writer who wrote these really ridiculous parlor room romantic dramas.
What was social satire of the time?
Yeah, mannerism was it called, or something about manners, because everything was about propriety and how things are done.
The governess wants to request an audience with the
if you love kind of passive aggressive dialogue and like witty like British sarcasm, you will love Jane Austen's work. She was amazing at it. So basically what we do is we improvise full-length plays in the style of our favorite authoress, Jane Austen's, like, her book style. So it's a lot of fun. We get to play, because we're an all-female troupe, we get to play the ladies, we get to play the lords, we get to play a stable boy, whoever we want to play, you know?
And that's very rare for Chicago improv groups to have all a bunch of women who, women aren't funny. So it's really hard for them.
That's outdated.
You wish it was outdated. Well, there's still so many people who think like that. It's ridiculous.
I mean, Ghostbusters solved that problem. Oh, isn't it?
Stop. I'm so angry in so many ways.
I thought you were supposed to be funny.
I know. I can't be a three-dimensional person thing, whatever. I'm a woman. I don't get it.
So Improvised Jane Austen, though, is really well-received. It's mm-hmm. critically acclaimed, and it's a rare thing for a lot of women getting together and improvising with each other.
There's actually a lot in the Chicago scene now. There's a lot of all-female troops, but a
is
lot
that
of
relatively
them,
new, though, isn't it?
Or yeah. Improv used to be pretty much a boys' club for a while. It's still a little bit mm-hmm. of one in some of the theaters, especially.
What does Tina Fey say, like, if you're not a 27-year-old white guy, improv might not be the thing for you?
It can be rough, but I think that the community, especially in the past couple of years, has done really well in being more diverse and being open to that. There's still a huge problem with, like, people of color, like, being underrepresented. Mm-hmm. So there's a while to go, but it's getting better.
Mm-hmm. What's, like, your favorite moment in Improvised Jane Austen? Because you guys had some great shows.
Man, you know, that's one of the things where it's like with improv, sometimes I feel like I black out while I'm doing it. Because I'll finish the show and people will be like, I loved when you did that. I was like, what did I do? I don't even remember that. You know, and sometimes I'll like remember it as they tell me that.
That's a lot of fun is that you guys don't hold yourself back from playing male characters. Mm-hmm. And then so it gets into this sort of like gender bending, lesbian, mm-hmm. Trans aspect to the improv quality.
It's so much fun like that. I mean, I played a straight up cad once. I was always at the gentlemen's clubs. I was betting. I was drinking away my inheritance and I was having so much fun doing it. And I think that's like one of my favorite characters to play is that kind of a guy, you know?
Well, you play what you know.
Exactly.
In Jane Austen, I'm going to talk about being a celebrity in Korean television.
That's exactly how I open up most of my characters, saying exactly those words.
A lot of people on YouTube, are they sort of fascinated by the fact that you were on Korean television, or like any of your past fans from that era sort of follow you to this?
Every once in a while, I get some people who do know me from that, but for the most part, no, I don't. Like, and I haven't really played it up or mm-hmm. tried to because it feels
it's already
done.
Been a while, right?
Yeah.
Because you were on TV in Korea. When did you leave? When was the last time you were on TV?
In 2013, I left. Yeah.
So it's recently then.
It is rather recently. But I mean, 2009 was when I was like, that's
your peak.
My peak was 2009.
That's when you should have landed a Korean millionaire.
I know. Oh, I messed up so bad.
Well, was it the most popular videos on YouTube in Korea are people eating?
Mukbang, is that what it is?
Mukbang. Yeah. Muk means eat and bang is a room.
And so mukbang is it. So they just people sit in front of a camera and it's live streaming and people pay to watch. And it's usually typically very young, pretty women. And they just eat enormous amounts of food and they make a lot of noise, too, when they eat, because people like to hear that. The slurping and all that.
I hate the noise of people eating. I hate it so much.
They actually have done a study recently and they can identify the part of the brain that gets annoyed by that.
Really?
Yeah, because some people, like you might be annoyed by people, the sound of people eating. There are some people that sends them into a fucking frenzy and they want to murder people.
When I'm sitting and there's like no music on and I'm with Pete, sometimes it can get like that. Yeah.
Well, you might suffer from whatever this.
I'm going to check
there's
it out.
There's a word for it, but I don't know what that would
be. I have it. Wow. Have another it. Condition. Yay.
My cousin eats with his mouth open. And he's like, and I'm just like, would you? This is why you don't have a girlfriend.
I have a friend who studied abroad in Japan. Mm-hmm. And apparently there's a thing that a lot of Japanese people do when they think, they'll go while they're thinking. But he'd do this all the freaking time. And he'd be like, well, you know. And that started to get me to the point where I was ready to slap him every time he did it.
That's like, worth a slap. But you kind of get into some of your videos a little bit of that mukbang, but it's more kind of sploshing because you like take a bath in French fries, you smash your head on bagels, and then on bread.
Mm-hmm. You're a woman after my own heart.
I just gotta have fun.
That's when I fell in love with you, is seeing you like splashing around a pumpkin spice latte bathtub.
That was
fun. Got expensive to do that, right? You went to Starbucks and got like 200 pumpkin spice lattes?
No, I made a bunch of coffee, and then I tried to steam a bunch of almond milk, and then I gave up and poured some almond milk like straight from the jug into the thing, into the tub. And then I added in like some pumpkin spice from my, like my video shows the whole detail, but I did a homemade DIY latte basically for my tub. Because I couldn't afford that much.
But
Starbucks.
That was actual coffee in the bathtub all the way up.
Yeah.
And it was really brave of you to not wait for it to cool.
Well, it was by the time we added in like the almond milk and stuff, it was okay. And I like was like, I'm going to give this a little bit. You know?
What did your body smell like after you made that video?
The whole bathroom smelled like
a Starbucks.
Like a Starbucks in there for a while. I mean, I certainly smelled it. And okay, it was gross because my friend who was filming it for me decided she was going to run outside and get some leaves and refuse from outside and start, because it was fall. She was like, fall.
Oh,
and
that's
she starts.
That happened.
Throwing these colored leaves on me, and I'm
while
like,
you're in the bath?
Yeah. And then I took a sip of the bath water for like a show, and I was like, oh my god, it tastes like shit. Like it's like literal shit.
So it tastes like a pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah.
It had a scatological quality to it, and that's what I think that's my favorite. Well, except the video that I am in that I played.
Which is amazing.
So we were in New York City, and I'm not sure if this was a reality TV show. It felt like a reality TV show. They had all this amazing food and alcohol for us, and they put us in all these weird little challenges the entire week, which was great. We got to like stay in really nice hotels and have access to amazing facilities, and we met all these like, you know, and for YouTube personalities or celebrities that were there, everybody's nice. Like
it was true. There was everybody.
Why
was
would
super
you expect
nice.
A YouTube celebrity to be mean?
Well, some of them are. Some of them are just like bratty kids who got famous on YouTube and don't know how to treat anyone because they got famous before they had to like work for anything in their life. That personality certainly exists. But the people that they picked were all people who were like hardworking, well-adjusted, good people.
So I think there was a merit there. And I think maybe they did the psychological screening by just requiring you to do all this paperwork.
Yeah.
And so a selfish, bratty person's not going to do that.
Yeah. They're kind of like, I'm good enough.
Yeah. Can I just like live stream my audition?
I guess you don't deserve me.
Yeah. And so we get there and it's like it was a broad range of people like comedians, tech bloggers, food bloggers.
Some cinematographers who do like amazing things. Yeah.
And every day was like, your challenge today is you're going to collaborate on a video and may the best woman win. And I'm like, where the hell am I? And so the best thing was like, I got to be in like a ton of videos.
Yeah. Fosta was the belle of the ball there. Like everybody wanted him in their videos.
And I'm like, I'm sorry. I have charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. I'm sorry that you're just going to have to run camera.
Where's your video that you made?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
It's a
makeup. No, I haven't. I'm about to finish it.
Okay.
But I started a new job, so it's been eating up all my time. But so you did a job on how not to get a promotion at work. What was the premise of it?
It was like, how not to get a job or something like
how
that.
How not to get a pay raise.
I didn't know how to title
it. I wasn't even there, and I wasn't even in the video, but I watched it.
You were jealous.
Know what it's called. And what it's about.
And so the premise begins with our friend who's a coffee addict, the short little Barney Rubble guy. He was like, wait, are you going to donate to my Kickstarter? And you were like, I don't have any money.
It was so hard getting him to do the lines right. It was so hard.
You could memorize them?
He's not an actor, you know, so it was harder for
him.
He was
enthusiastic.
He was very enthusiastic.
He sure is
inspired me in so many ways because, you know, he's one of those, he's of the generation. He's only like 19, so he was born plugged into shit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So he like was constantly, he was like filming a vlog while he's Snapchatting and like sending out messages to everybody and just like so on top of it. And I was just like, wow, I need to study your playbook, like, because you are beyond me on everything, every level.
He's probably updating his Facebook 20 times a day.
Oh my god.
Like, so that's Will Carmack, and his YouTube channel is Mr. Lord Video, and he's just like, he lives like you're like this. You both of you guys live and breathe YouTube, and you make all this great content there, and it's just you alone with a video camera mostly, and mm-hmm. your editing skills, and you just crank this stuff out. It's really remarkable.
I slowed down for a bit. I was only doing like one video a week for a while, and I don't think that the YouTube algorithm liked me for that. So
it wanted you to slow down? Or it wants you to make more?
It wants more content.
It's a hungry beast.
It is a hungry beast. So I've started putting out these little character monologues. I just started last week, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. But I started putting out these little character monologues that are like 30 seconds to a minute, minute and a half. And it's just me like being a different character each time. And I'm just going to play with it. I'm going back into exploratory mode.
And then the video is also Natasha, the Weave Whisperer. Who, if you don't,
she's fun.
You know, she plays basically your boss.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got attitude. I play her personal assistant.
Yes, you
with
do.
With sex appeal.
Yeah.
You should have done a muscle pose and you should have shown some biceps when they said you were sexy.
Well, you know.
I wasn't there. They didn't want me. I could have been there. I could have directed
it. I wish you could have come.
I know. They said no.
Yeah, they didn't.
Just one
Mark.
Person from a team.
And then Callie Brancefort from her makeup beauty blog, But First Coffee. It's mm-hmm. not about coffee.
It's about coffee makeup. Up the butt.
And she and I worked on a video together about makeup for men.
Yeah.
Because we had seen all these drag queens who are, you know, out of drag. They don't look that good.
Mm.
And they can, you know, they have the skills. They have the equipment. But for some reason, the brain turns off. They're like, I'm not a woman anymore, so it doesn't matter what I look like.
Yeah.
And so a lot of these dudes, because they're dudes, some of them, most of them, you know, some are trans or mm-hmm. or women, too.
Yeah.
But the cisgendered gay men, when they're not in drag, they just look like shit, you know? And so we're like, okay, fellas, mm-hmm. you're not a queen right
Step
now.
Step your penis up.
Step your bro up, right? And so it was makeup for men to look masculine.
I love that.
It's actually really good, and it's some really practical, you know, this mm-hmm. is what Mark and I use for cooking with drag queens, so we mm-hmm. look good, you know, because otherwise
well,
we look basically...
Well, you need for film and stage, men definitely need makeup.
Yeah, and so, you know, we'll get into that video. It's mm-hmm. coming soon, like RuPaul's Drag Race. Soon. Which means we're just trying to get our shit together.
I'm excited. I'm excited for it.
It's exciting and it's wonderful. What's really exciting and wonderful is Lady Gaga at the Grammys with Metallica.
What the heck?
You weren't feeling it.
No, I was not feeling that at all. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't want to watch guys who could be my grandpa up there. Like,
hey, don't be
ageist.
Yes. I'm old enough to be your father, too, Missy.
I'm into that. I'm into, like, that age disparity. But, like, at that point, it was just not. It wasn't doing it for me.
How old is Metallica?
I don't know.
I'm sure they're well into the mid... I'm saying mid-60s, at least.
Yeah,
right?
I'm like, one of them looked... I think he was
Some
in a wheelchair.
Some of them probably might be even be 70s. And that's okay. Listen, you know, other people can do it. The Rolling Stones can do it. They're
yeah,
be
sure,
up there.
Sure.
We're going to start seeing these musicians, the ones that live long enough. It seems like so many of them aren't. They'll probably do it till the day they die. If it's your passion, you just kind of continue
it's
doing
great.
It.
It's great. I didn't understand why Lady Gaga joined into it.
You know, I saw she likes heavy metal. And I think I saw her take a picture with some kind of heavy metal person recently. And she's just like, bands like this just love rocker chicks like me.
Okay, guys, this is gonna make your heads explode.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably because they haven't taken very good care of themselves.
What?
The people in Metallica are 52, 53.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
51.
Okay.
They're younger than my parents.
52. Oh my god, yeah, that's what sex and mm-hmm. mostly the drugs that's gonna age you. That's the thing you don't realize, like all that cocaine, meth, heroin, alcohol, smoking, mm-hmm. Eating at shitty diners in foreign countries every night for a year, you know, when you're on tour.
Mm. Yeah.
It's, you know, that makes your hair grow gray and puts wrinkles mm-hmm. in your, not on your skin, but also in your digestive system, you know.
But it was great to see Beyonce up there showing off her baby bump. Do you call it bumps if it's two babies?
Baby bumps.
I don't know. Your lovely lady lumps, but I think you still got a baby bump.
Her tribute to the Lady Madonna.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
She was the mother of us all.
She was like a fertility goddess. I feel like she's going way back with it.
She was Virgin of Guadalupe. She had flowers all over herself. Mm-hmm. And she was, encased in an eruption of gold and glowingness.
She had like a little halo around her.
Yeah.
And from what I remember hearing, like when I studied the Bible back in Catholic school, they said that the reason why that they would portray them with halos is because the priests back in the olden days, in the temple, and probably was an Assyrian thing and probably that whole area, they would put on their wigs or their hair, they would put beeswax and it would melt. And so it would kind of like glow and shine. And so that's the idea of like, and so when they'd be up in front of people, it would like they would have this halo around them.
Wait a minute.
What?
You can't be serious.
Wait a minute.
So all that halo stuff, that Christian stuff, comes from the Middle East.
Yeah.
So here we go. And this is like, why are we hating each other? One world, peace and love. Okay.
I'm just looking at the tweets about the Grammys, too, and I see Donnie Wahlberg. Yes, that Donnie Wahlberg is out, like, tweeting. Is like, oh, Big Freedia, Queen Diva, Bey's in the house, Beyonce's in the house. That's the Grammys right there.
Big Freedia.
Big Freedia.
No, Big Freedia can't sing a song where her name isn't part of the lyrics. Big Freedia, coming in the...
I want to do a parody rap song where it's all just like name dropping myself the whole like for a 4 minute Vicky. Song. It's like, yo, it's Big Vicky up here. What? Yeah. 2017 Vicky remix.
Just Vicky Eisenstein going. Doing the podcast. You know that there was a Saturday Night Live character that talked that way. Right?
What?
Yeah, he was like, it was in the office, like, Mark's coming in, making the photocopies,
drinking the coffee.
I think it was that annoying, what was the name? He was best friends with the funny one, who's not so funny. He's on Netflix.
Dana Carvey?
No, the gigolo guy.
Oh.
One of the Good Neighbors kids?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's one of those awful people.
Oh.
Not Pauly Shore.
We have to research it a little bit more.
Yeah, but one of those, it's Adam Sandler's best friend. What the fuck is his name?
Oh, I don't know.
Like, you know how people kind of like got sick of Adam Sandler? And so he went on Netflix and made a ton of money, but nobody's watching those. I mean, some people are watching Netflix.
Some people like Adam Sandler,
you know.
I'm sure his wife likes him. I'm sure his kids like him.
Yeah, especially like the paycheck. Deuce Bigelow. What the name of that? Rob Schneider.
Oh.
Walking and talking like Big Freedia. So Big Freedia's like, Big Freedia, making them the mixes. Big Freedia. And maybe she saw that Saturday Night skit. And that's how
she became herself.
Well, you say a name enough in the songs, people will remember who you are.
Yeah. They'll call her
that ass everywhere, girl.
Yeah. What is it? Black Eyed Peas did that, too. And Fergie did that. Fergalicious.
Yeah. She's keeping it real at the gym, working on her fitness.
She's my witness. What else about that Grammys?
I guess Adele's, she was there, she had to stop the performance because the sound wasn't right. She was doing like a tribute to George Michael. And some people liked it, some people hate it. So it's kind of very like whether you saw it or not and whether
she
you
said,
liked it or not.
She said, stop the sound. They can hear my voice.
But it wasn't like, maybe if Mariah had done that during her performance at the hall over there, was it New Year's?
It was Christmas. All I want for Christmas is you.
No, but it was her New Year's Eve performance, right?
Yeah, it was All I Want for Christmas Is You. And she can't sing that song anymore. I don't know what happened to Mariah's voice, but it's gone. Honey.
Really?
She sounds like me. I am Mariah Carey.
Let's hear it.
How does it go?
We have Vicky. I have to tell you, we have had some requests from the listeners not to have Fausto sing.
Really?
So we might pass that.
Oh
on.
Wow, but bad.
Yeah, I thought it was so.
Hold on, I won't get a thing for Christmas. It's not that I'm that greedy, and I gave up on getting presents, and we won't have a Christmas tree, no Kindle, iPod, or iPhone as I gnaw on a leftover Thanksgiving turkey bone.
Maybe you should try Metallica.
Wait, I got the punchline here.
Okay.
Why did I have to Marian Orthodox Jew.
What is the jingle bells? They're put away.
I always keep it close by, honey, because Christmas is always in my
Lady
heart.
Lady Bunny's parody song.
Lady Bunny.
It was also great to see, guys from 21 Pilots. I was like, what the hell is going on? They won the Grammys for, like, best pop group, and then, like, all of a sudden they just started taking off their pants.
Really?
Yeah. And they walk up on stage, and they're, like, pantless. I was just there in the underwear, and they're like, yo, dudes, we were watching the Grammys many years ago, and we all, like, all of us were in our underwear, and we're like, if we ever get on the Grammys, we'll take off our pants.
Wow.
And then before they walked off the stage, I said, anyone from anywhere can do anything.
I like that sentiment.
Mm-hmm. I like, you know, lottery winners are like, I won the lottery. You just got to believe in yourself. Like, I'm not playing that game.
No.
CeeLo Green showed up looking like Vivacious, dipped in gold. And Daft Punk gave the best tribute to Darth Vader in these long black.
That's awesome.
Capes. And I just realized, like, if they replace Daft Punk with actual robots, no one would know.
No one would know.
And maybe they're robots at this point, you know, because that's what I tell a lot of the drag queens, like, a lot of your fans are not going to recognize you in person that much because you're covered in all this makeup and wigs. And I was just like telling them, like, you know, Bob, the drag queen's like, just send Peppermint out on tour for you. You know,
they would never know.
They'd be like, Bob, the drag queen sounds different. She looks a little different, but. There's a black drag queen.
A little more curvy.
Like, what is it? Lady Red Couture. We were in Austin, Texas for the Austin International Drag Festival.
Oh, yeah. This is great.
Mm-hmm. We went to Oil Can Harry's, and we got in. We were treated super well. And everyone's like, Latrice Royale, you are my favorite drag queen. Can I have a photo taken with you? And she was just like, super nice, getting tips.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She was just like, I'll take a photo with you, but it'll cost you $20. And people just gave her 20 after 20 after 20.
Yeah, and she was like, she was happy.
I would never be like comfortable enough to say that. I could never do that.
We're just kidding.
The joke was that she's getting mistaken for somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
But she really was being mistaken for Latrice Royale. And they let us in. They let us cut in line.
But even because they thought she was Latrice Royale. I could never, I don't know. Like, could you guys...
Sure, absolutely, without a doubt. Why not?
They think that Mark is Chris Noth, Mr. Big from Sex and the City all the time.
Well, they say, who is it that people tell you you look like?
Oh, that's their way of figuring out.
And I'm like, shut the fuck. Alec Baldwin looks like Trump so much that a newspaper...
Now he's starring in whole episodes.
And a newspaper in the Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what happens. Production people, because I worked in newspapers, they're on deadlines, and they're like, I need a photo of Trump. And so the guy went on Google image search, found a picture of Trump, stuck it in the newspaper. It was Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the what is the website RT, which is the Russian Propaganda Times. Mm. RT stands for Russia and the T stands for you've been Trumped. And they're like, oh, see, the media hates President Trump. That's why they're running a picture of Alec Baldwin. That's why we got to make
everything is a media conspiracy, except for Fox News, which is always preaching the true word.
Yeah, the only ones.
Joy Villa at the Grammys. Do you even know who that is?
She's a musician. I don't know what she sings or who she is.
No, I don't know her.
So I guess she felt like they would just censor her back. So she showed up in a white dress. Uh-huh. She rips it off on the red carpet. And underneath is one of those like bad dye sublimation dresses you get off of Redbubble or Cafe Press. Mm-hmm. And it's Make America Great Again in the front and Trump on her ass.
On her train.
What?
Trump on her rump.
Yeah.
What?
And she said on Instagram, my whole artistic platform is all about love. I couldn't be where I am today without the love and tenderness of those beautiful supporters and friends around me.
And she's like Latina or I don't,
are you
know.
Serious?
Yeah, she's a person of color and her last name is Villa, so I would assume that she's probably Latino, you know,
Latinx.
I don't know what
the only thing she
is.
Stands for is personal gain of some sort, clearly.
Yeah, so I was like, girl, what is this? The conservatives are like going on NPR I was driving, hearing NPR.
When are they going to shut that down, by the way?
Well, this is the craziest thing. So this conservative, this is how dumb the person who was interviewing this conservative artist from New York City, who was doing some stupid show, you know, that had some obscene title. And was like, we don't need any money, blah, 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 you know, and they were on NPR and just talking their Trump speaking points. And they were like arguing that the abolishment for the NEA would be a good thing for the arts, because now we don't need money. We just do it, right? And I'm like, you're not just abolishing. This is what people don't realize. You're not just taking money away from ballet and the opera. You're not just taking away the money from like civic centers in poor states or poor cities. You're taking money away from therapy for soldiers, for art teaching for kids at risk. You're taking away money for the humanities, for libraries, for the Corporation of Public Broadcasting. You're taking money away from Mr. Rogers, Sesame Street, and Bob Ross, you monsters.
Bob Ross is dead.
I mean, the future Bob Ross.
His spirit is receiving funds from the endowment.
Now, think about this. If Trump wants to cut spending, why just not have his wife live in the White House with him? Share the same bed.
Yeah, quit costing New York $500,000 a day. Is that what it is?
It's insane, and I'm so upset. Like, I just can't. I just can't. But I'm just wondering, I'll turn on NPR and I'm like, when is he going to try and shut this down? Because, like, I'm so confused that he's let it to still exist.
That's the thing is, NPR doesn't get that much government money.
Oh, really? They don't? No. I didn't even know that.
No,
Is that why they're always asking for money?
Yeah.
Like us.
Like us. So if you're not a Plus member yet, consider signing up today, or we might get, you know, lose all
Trump
our
will
funding.
Win.
Because we don't get any funding from the United States government like NPR does.
Yeah, imagine if basically Russians want to take over all our media. So imagine Feast of Fun if it was done by, like, Russian... you know, anti-gay, homophobe, fascist.
And it could happen.
They'd be like, welcome to Feast of Slavery.
Where we have a fun time, no hot dogs.
Oh, please don't take away my hot dogs. I love hot dogs.
No, not for you.
Life is like chicken coop leather, short and chitty.
You will have your borscht and you will enjoy.
I like borscht.
I like borscht.
Good. Because that's all you get.
There's this borscht in Veselka, New York City. It's to die for.
We made it once, and we made so much of it. And I was just like, oh my God, I kind of got sick of it.
Yeah.
And then we made it again. I was just like, it's just not as good as the first time you make it, especially.
You know, I love cabbage.
I love cabbage,
I love it so much.
Yeah.
What, you're going to make a video about you broiling in it?
That's what you should do. Just shred some cabbage and roll around in it.
Cabbage.
Do the red cabbage so it stains your body.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, how much will it stain my body? Well, in good news, the Tonner Doll Company of Kingston, New York, is coming out with what is believed to be the first transgender doll.
Yay.
Based on Jazz Jenner, who's the 16-year-old star of the reality TV show I Am Jazz. So it's an 18-inch doll.
Where is that show on? Like, what?
It's on like Oprah. A TV show. It's on a television show.
The O channel.
Is it on?
Yeah, it's OWN.
Okay.
What's it called? OWN? Oprah Winfrey Network?
I don't know what she's got,
OWN.
I don't have a TV set. I mean, I watch Netflix and stuff like that, and YouTube, and Instagram Tube.
Yeah,
Instagram Tube. Vicky Eisenstein Tube.
Let me tell you a little bit about the doll. Mm-hmm. So the doll's 18 inches long, and it has a plastic body with no gender identifiers, so it's like most dolls. It's just kind of like, there's no penis, there's no vagina, there's no breasts, because it's, you know, it's a kid.
I think what they mean is like the box isn't pink or blue or something like that.
No, we're talking about the body here.
Okay.
You know.
All right. Okay.
All right. Which does it go in the boys' child section or the girls' child section?
they don't have those sections anymore, do they?
Some stores do.
I guess some stores do. You probably have to order online. It's on TLC now that I scroll down far enough to see.
And the Learning Channel.
And the Jazz Doll.
Just don't ask us to learn anything about it.
Guess how much the doll will cost?
$5.
$20.
No.
$1.
Higher.
$50.
$150.
What?
$300.
You were kidding
You're
me.
You're way high. It's $89.99.
What? That's like an American Girl doll.
Is that how much those cost?
Those are pretty expensive. Yeah. I don't know exactly how much they are anymore.
Well, Jazz is a high rent kind of girl. She's, you know, you're not going to get her for cheap. She's a star of a TV show.
I will be brave. I will be true.
That's what American Girl plays.
There is nothing that I can do.
We took his niece there, and the weird thing about this, and like, we all started laughing because they used to do a show, right? Uh-huh. They don't do the shows anymore. I guess the shows weren't making money. It was too much to do. They couldn't handle it, that kind of stuff. But the weird thing about it was, the girls, you could all see their panty lines. Like, it was very important that everybody in the audience know that these girls were wearing underwear.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So I would imagine, like, what's the, like...
Do they sell underwear?
I don't think so. No. But it was just, and we're like, I noticed it, Fausto noticed it, and his niece noticed it. And I'm glad she brought it. Like, because I was thinking about it. I was like, I'm not into little girls.
Should not be talking about that.
But I'm a gay guy. So it was like, she's like, it's so weird that they all had panty lines. We're like, oh my God. I was, because like,
I was
every
thinking
single
the same
person,
thing.
Every single person, we all thought the same thing. And I was like, that's some, either that's an artistic choice by the director, or is to, you know, to be like, these girls are pure, they wear underwear, you should be wearing underwear too, or like they had some pervo in charge that was just like, I have to see their underwear.
But as part of it is like, you know, you dealt with kids, right? Kids don't want to wear clothes. They're like running around naked and stuff. So maybe this is just propaganda to get children to wear underwear or clothes, you know?
Maybe.
It's like, the girls in the show wear underwear.
Well, also,
put your clothes on, kids. There's company coming over.
Also, to be honest, like, as a kid, even when I would do ice skating and they have you in those spandex outfits and stuff, I would always wear underwear and stuff. Like, my mom made me. So, I don't...
Oh, my God. Like, my niece, like, she would scream.
Really?
Bloody murder to either put on clothes or take them off. She didn't... You know, part of it was like some kids just get fixated on something.
Yeah.
And she loved little dresses.
Aww.
And we were like, okay, fine. You're going to wear that dress for 3 days, not bathe, whatever, be happy. And she stunk. It was disgusting. They had to peel this little, little white dress that she had. It was like brown on the edges from dirt.
Oh, wow.
And she was just like screaming. It was traumatic. It's like kids, you know, have a mind of their own. And it's like, so maybe, you know, parents taking their little girls to American Girl place. It's just like out of desperation, like, please bathe, please put on clean clothes. Chill. Like a lot of those kids' fairy tales is all about like how the kids are like, you know, dirty or like, you know, and when I was a 10-year-old boy, like my parents would be like, you need to bathe.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in high school, my parents were like, you need to bathe. And I was like, no.
I don't want to bathe.
I want to do it.
Yeah.
And then in college, I learned that like bathing is awesome. So.
And now you bathe in pumpkin spice lattes.
It's true. Mm.
Delicious, delicious lattes.
Mm-hmm.
Vicky Eisenstein, it's a pleasure getting to know you.
I'm so happy to have been here.
And
thanks for coming on the
working
podcast.
With you on videos. And you're an amazing video blogger. And I know sometimes you feel like you're, because you work alone sometimes, you know.
I do.
And it's lonely.
It is so lonely.
And, you know, and you don't get to see the
so
people
lonely.
That you impact, but you impact a lot of great people, and they really are appreciative for your videos.
Oh, thanks for saying so.
That's so sweet of you to say that.
Well, it's kind of something I want people to say to me, too.
You do mean a lot.
You mean a lot to us, Fausto.
It's important to make a difference in people's lives. And by creating a lot of this content, you're helping these rich multinational corporations get even richer. But also, you're making the difference in people's lives.
You're enriching people's lives.
I am. Thank you.
I want to remind folks we can't do the podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, consider signing up today at feastoffun.com/plus. Because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen.
And I want to do a shout out to Maury and Betty Markoff in the UK.
Okay.
They have been married together for 78 years.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Maury is 100. The man, actually, is 103 years old, and his wife, Betty, is 100.
Oh.
And they still fuck.
I should hope so.
With lots and lots of lube. Hopefully.
Oh, God. Don't make me visualize this.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. We got lots of great shows coming up this week. Hey, if you like this show and you want to share it with your friends, share it on social media and let them know. Let Vicky know what you think. Vicky's fantastic. You're looking for like collaborators, right? You want to make shit.
I'm always up for it. Yeah. And I'm getting into gear now. I'm like doing more and more videos. So I need stuff.
You know how to work the camera now, right?
Yeah. Someone taught me. I taught myself how to do manual a little bit. And I'm still using auto. Sorry.
That's all right.
Lays she.
We've got James Mansfield coming up on tomorrow's show. She'll be on season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah. She's going to spill all the tea, honey.
She's going to tell you who won season 9. So
yeah. So
spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Not. She's not actually. We're going to mostly focus on her road to Drag Race. And sort of like when she found out she was going to be on the show, how did she pack?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're getting on a reality TV show that's going to change your entertainment career permanently, like you have experienced this. Mm-hmm. When you knew you were going to be packed on that show, it's like it kind of makes you panic a little bit, right? You get into this scared state and you're like, oh my God, I need everybody, bring me all your clothes. And ultimately, what it boils down for you is one secret thing to help you succeed. And we'll get to that in the show with James Mansfield.
Oh my God, you're so good at teasing.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's one weird trick.
Tease it real hard.
Damn. Vicky. Was this a BuzzFeed headline? Because I'm like, ooh, I want to click that.
Vicky, it's a pleasure.
It was so much fun.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.